Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And as you know, the focus of this show is to bring people to the airways that are making a difference in our world. And the term going beyond medicine means not to have a quick fix, but rather to have a lifelong sustaining change. And today I am absolutely delighted to have a conversation with Sister Joan Chittister, who is one of the most influential religious and social leaders of our time. For 40 years, she has been an advocate on behalf of peace, human rights, women's issues, and church renewal. And so without any further ado, welcome, Sister Joan.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm happy to be here. This is going to be a good one, I know, because you touch every nerve that we need to understand.
Oh, thank you. So please, as a woman, as a woman leader, as someone who has been so committed to human rights, can you please tell us where you see the most immediate need right now?
The most immediate what, Elaine? I'm sorry.
The most immediate need for humanity.
Need. Well, let's put it this way. Everything happens on a timeline. Absolutely nothing happens immediately, except perhaps the insight and the vision of it. Now, the insight and the vision of this society in general, has always been freedom, independent and individual participation, and the whole notion of human development. At this point in history, I see us on a cusp between an original impulse that is American, a global responsibility that is universal, and the vision to work to negotiate between the two so that we don't lose our sense of what it is to be an American, but we also understand that part of that is our responsibility to creation and to the globe. We're being torn between those two elements. One is being pitted against another in some ways. Now that's general cultural. If we look at society at the present time, as many of us see it, we see it in this negotiation, this renegotiation of what it is to be a human being, which means then, what is it to be a woman rather than a man, or what is it to be women and men together in the fullness of their development? The problem there, of course, is we now have consciousness pitted against, well, some of it's personal convenience, and some of it is cultural tradition. So knowing what it is to be a woman as a woman means that we keep moving toward and through a kind of elastic barrier. And the feedback, the pushback, the stalling comes when people begin to argue that being a woman means a certain thing because it's always meant that. So here we are in both situations, in society and in personal growth, standing at a crossover point in time between what was but is not working anymore and what must be, or we are not going to be able to develop in a new world. Does that make any sense to you?
It absolutely does, you know, because Joan, I know you don't know me personally, but I think I'm going to know you, darling.
Sure. Yeah, I know that.
I'm an energy healer, so I work with people in helping them to find their best self within themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And some will call that God, some will call that peace, some will call that whatever it is. But we need to understand that we are a human species.
Yes.
That
yes.
that like any species, if we do not know how to work collaboratively, we will lose that genetic, that genome structure, if you will. And we have the potential to become extinct like any other species.
Yeah, we do. But we've never been conscious of that before. And we don't want to be conscious of it now. We show our resistance by simply saying, I can remember at the time of the first oil shortage, gas shortage in this country. Oh, I suppose it was 15, 20 years ago now. The mantra on the streets was, oh, don't pay any attention. When they want to have it available, well, they'll go into the laboratory and they'll make some substitute.
Right.
So there was this notion of the infinite, that we are invincible and we have infinite control over nature as it stands. Now, that's an old idea. And we taught it for years that the human being was the top of the food chain, but the human being was the top of creation, and that everything else here was for our consumption and our use. And as we watch ourselves destroying one piece of it after another and see this species and that resource not be self-developing, we're finally coming to a little awareness that, look, when that creek dries up, that water will be gone. Then no amount of chemistry is going to help us. It's a great moment in time, but it's also a tension-laden moment in time, which is why you see a lot of social anxiety, I think.
Well, I think that, thank you for sharing that, because what I think that we need to do as elders, as women, is to say, honestly, we have been wrong, and to just simply acknowledge that we have been wrong. And when we make that acknowledgement, then it gives permission to others to recognize that they have been wrong too, and perhaps opens the door to look for other alternatives to make things right.
Well, Elaine, you're talking about something very profound. In the past 6 months, I can't thank you enough for that injection. In the last 6 months, I have developed a presentation off of my own new book called Radical Spirit on humility. Now, I have been wanting to write on humility for 20 years and have resisted it. I think it is the arch value and the most profound spiritual virtue of them all. But in the United States, humility has never been an acceptable thing. It's been confused humility has been confused with humiliations. Now, humility is what you were talking about. There are things about which we have been wrong, and we need to say it, to admit it, to know it, and to move on as better, more developed human beings. A lot of this comes, it starts in the 18th century. Remember, it is only at the time of the Enlightenment that the self is defined as the ultimate value in creation, selfness. And from that concept of selfness, you have the whole psychological system emerging to measure and evaluate and define what is the self, what is self-control about, what is self-development about, until we moved beyond the earlier philosophical concerns for beauty and truth and happiness and joy and even the immortality of the soul as such. That was the purview of philosophers from Plato to the 18th century.
Yes.
And all of a sudden we began to concentrate on ourselves, and psychology measured us and kept our concentration on this development of the best self. And that means that we went from selfhood to narcissism, and now to the whole concept of the narcissistic society. You know, Kim Jong-un wants his own nuclear weapon. Amazon wants to control or to be every store on the planet. It's all this whole notion now in contest with the idea of humanity itself and globalism and creation as integral parts of that. This is a huge moment in human history.
It is. It is so true. I just had the great pleasure of returning from Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I was with some indigenous grandmothers. And it was the bringing back of this ancient, literally before what we call America, which most people don't know that the Native American word America means land of the giants.
It is what?
It means land of the giants.
That's right. That's right.
And I live in Michigan, which means land of the dragon. So Michigawa means land of the dragon, which means power here. And what we need to remember is the power comes from the living earth, that we have no comprehension of the enormity of the love for humanity that Mother Earth provides.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, as you were talking about self, there is a beautiful medicine wheel that is called the Four Powers of the Human Self. And what it speaks about is that the self, the capital S-E-L-F, is spirit in form.
Yes,
so
that's right.
It is not little by any stretch. It isn't singular. It's inclusive of everything.
Well, you know, this has been planted in our DNA for so long that it is only now gradually becoming even an acceptable topic. When this begins to be a discussion, certainly at the university level, but also when it starts to show up in human breakdown, anxiety, conflict, the lack of, quote, self-esteem that we begin to concentrate on, the question of what is community and where is responsibility? And am I responsible only for myself? Am I the arch enemy of the Cain and Abel story, that I am not my brother's keeper? Well, in that case, then who's keeping me? And we're beginning to understand that if we don't have this sense of mutual keeping, then what right do we have to expect that there ought to be some balance in society that enables all of us to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves? There is such a thing as a permanent underclass. These are not lazy people or welfare queens. These are people who can't find work because they are not able to work. They're too old. They're too sick. They're too paralyzed. They're too handicapped in some way, mentally, physically, emotionally. Who's going to take care of them? Or are we just going to step over the bodies in the streets?
Yes.
So here you have self, the best self, spirit in form self, at war with community, which is the responsible spirit that we all bring to the center of humanity so that all humans are treated humanely.
That's right.
These are huge ideas. They belong back in philosophy classes. They certainly belong in churches. The churches are finally beyond, at least largely beyond, the whole notion of ecclesiastical prejudice, ecclesiastical politics. Our church is better than your church. When we understand that people hear the will of God through different faces and different languages and different places at different times, but if you believe that to have a God, there can only be one God, then why would you be surprised that one God is giving the same message in multiple languages to multiple peoples in multiple places?
Mm-hmm.
We are humans together. That's the point.
That's
and
right.
All humans have a responsibility, certainly, to self-development, but we have a communal responsibility, or we are incapable of making any claims on anybody else. Stop badgering your government. If the self is your total criteria of value and success, then don't expect a tax break. Don't expect a living wage rather than a minimum wage. Don't expect dignified housing. If self is what you want, then go get it. But it will corrupt and decay your own living situation. What we don't take care of in our cities will eventually undermine the value of your property.
That's right.
Is that clear?
Yes.
This thing is a weave that we have tried to separate into strands.
Yes. My guest today is Sister Joan Chittister, who is one of the most influential religious and social leaders of our time, and most definitely a spokesperson or a strong voice for women and for the earth and for humanity in general. And Sister, if you don't mind, I have a dear friend named Mary Ellen Woji, who always is beautiful with language. And she helped me a long time ago to understand the difference in the way we use our words and how important it is. So we often think of the word responsibility, or to be responsible, as a duty. But if we changed it slightly and looked at it, how are we response able? How are we able to respond?
That's right.
And
yes.
Instead of looking at it as a duty, which we might get a little
right.
touchy about, instead of saying, okay, what can I do here?
I need to know her. We already know one another.
Yes.
Exactly what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. What we do not do for the other in a communal society will eventually take us down.
That's right.
And we must respond to it.
Yes, and as you said, you know, these things have to be brought to the universities, but so many people cannot get to the university. So I think that it actually starts at the kitchen table.
That's right.
At the
That's
women's
right.
circles, as you're walking down the street or having a glass of wine with somebody, you go, what the hell's going on here?
That's right. And the other thing is, it has to be, when I say it has to start at the universities, what I mean is that we have to begin to make these ideas are human goals. They must be defined that way so that those conversations on the street are seen as not just possible, but legitimate and absolutely imperative.
Yes.
That in every house, every child hears this conversation at some level.
Yes, yes. And when as I was driving in this morning, I was listening to a YouTube thing that was so important. And we have to remember, as you were speaking about the children, some of the children that are born now are much wiser than we. And we have to teach them to be their best selves rather than to force old ways down their throat. It'll
right.
never work. It'll never
no,
work.
No, it will never work. And it isn't working. That's exactly
working.
What you see where the breakdown points are, Elaine. Mm-hmm. That just what you just finished describing.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I was reading through your beautiful website, I'm having aha moment after aha moment, because I see on here that you were a part of the Charter for Compassion, and I'm an ambassador for the Charter for Compassion.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
For the women
that's
and girls
marvelous.
Sector.
Yes.
So
yes. And that's a beautiful, I mean, I just being in that circle, developing that charter was a spiritual moment for me.
Mm. My goodness. So there's so much to talk to you about. And as before the show started, I was listening to your interview with Oprah on the Super Soul Sunday. And I just love to see your comfort in speaking about life. You know, because so many people when they're speaking about what the agenda that they want to get across, they're stiff. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you for being smushy.
Yeah, no. Well, That's exactly what I'm trying to say when I say we must legitimate and these conversations, and more than that, make them imperative.
Yes.
We've become a walking assembly line. I love that definition, that it's spirit in form.
Yes.
We are spiritual people. Is it Chardin who says that? We are not human beings having a spiritual moment. We are spiritual people learning to be human,
right.
Fully human.
Right.
And we're not, as a society, nurturing this spiritual dimension. When we create a budget in the United States of America and all of its component parts, the first thing to go is the Philharmonic and the local theater and the artists.
Yes.
Now, those are the very segments of our society that feed our souls. And we leave, what you put into the inner city is what you'll get out of it. If you put in food stamps, you'll get survival. But if you put in art and music and beauty, you will put out people with a different quality of soul.
That's right.
Who will see the world differently.
Yes.
My community began what we call the neighborhood art house. All of the schools in the inner city had closed. Not one Catholic school in the inner city, and the public schools were way up on either end of it. So we saw these little kids running the streets. So we opened the neighborhood art house. We don't charge a penny. We ask everybody in this city to help us support this. A child walks in the door and says, "I want to learn to play a trombone." We find a trombone and a teacher. We teach them to draw, to do oil painting. We teach them crafts and dance and ballet. We have choruses with them. Our children in this 10 square block area are some of the most creative people. One of our children has been poet laureate of children in the city of Erie. Now, these are the people that 15 years ago, everybody would say, what good can come out of 9th and Parade? And I can tell you, it is flowing with goodness and beauty and the love of these children for what they do. We're now in our 11th year, I think, or our 12th year. And the people that we say aren't interested in kids come in for open house 4 times a year to see the artwork that their children have produced. Our vendors and businesses in Erie hang their oil paintings up and sell them. It's like a geyser of beauty coming out of one corner of this city where people said it couldn't happen. I tell you, Elaine, what we put in to the inner city is what we'll get out of it.
That's
what
right.
We put into people's souls is what will rebuild the nature of this country. And for too long, it's been money, power, individualism, and status.
That's right. And, you know, I thank you for what you're doing there. I am a part of a group here in Michigan that is doing similar things with bringing literature and art to children that have been
wonderful.
Damaged in one way or another because of the circumstances that the adults have put them in.
Yep.
And it was started
right.
by a young man who was in the most horrific experiences and saw light within himself. And I'll share that with you at another time. But I think that you would love what he's doing, what they're doing. Also, as you were talking about art and creation, I think that we also have to put seeds in the children's hands.
Yes.
So that they put their hands in soil and see
yes.
that no
yes.
human is smart enough to create one single seed.
That's
no
right.
human oh. is, but it's there for us to be able to sustain our lives, that we can watch the magic and the mystery of how creation puts soil, what we think of as dirt, with sunlight
yes.
and water, and
yes.
how that miracle of a leaf can become a cell in a human body.
And isn't that the ultimate spiritual experience?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Isn't that moment when that person takes the first seed they've ever had, planted it, and stands there and watches it for 6 months and it blooms?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the best story, creation story, you can possibly tell anybody?
Yes, and if you're not in awe of that, I can't imagine.
What will you be?
What will you be in awe of? But we have to teach people what it means. So.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to have to take a break in just a moment. When we come back, I'd like to ask you if you would talk about how you see women beginning to change their minds about themselves so that we can be the leaders that we are meant to be.
Yes, right.
Okay, if you'll stay with me, my guest is Joan Chittister. She is an advocate for justice, peace, equality for humanity worldwide. It's my honor to speak with her. I'm Elaine Grohman. This is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. Please stay with us.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul. Calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
Did you know that 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or don't measure up in some way? I'm Amy Poehler. You may know me from film and television, but I'm also involved off-screen, encouraging young girls to be proud of who they are. Body image breakdowns and the pressure to be perfect often causes a girl's self-esteem to plummet. But by being positive role models, we can change that. The number one wish among girls is for their parents to communicate better with them, including more frequent and more open conversations. So get involved and start talking. Begin a conversation with a girl in your life about the importance of self-esteem. Tell her why she is beautiful and set an example by avoiding negative self-talk. You can make a difference in the lives of girls, and that is no laughing matter.
This message was brought to you by American Women in Radio and Television and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to raise self-esteem in girls everywhere. To learn more, go to campaignforrealbeauty.com. Thank you for making a difference.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Elaine Grohman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to the show. My guest today is Joan Chittister, who is one of our foremost influential religious and social leaders of our time. As a woman who has stood for the rights of humanity, has spoken openly about the needs of change in the church and in the rights of women and the renewal of the church. Thank you so much for your time today, Joan.
Oh, thank you, Elaine, for even providing this kind of a conversation on the public airwaves.
Oh.
I have no doubt that this has a greater contribution to the development of others than you can even dream. So I can only thank you.
Oh, thank you. So I, you know, as I look at all of the places that your voice has been heard, you know, sitting on a easy chair next to Oprah at Super Soul Sunday, to Meet the Press, 60 Minutes, now with Bill Moyer, it goes on and on and on. And I'm sure that you've touched thousands of lives, but can you tell us, please, what, Joan, do you think is the role that women have in our world today, and how are you seeing that we as women can come together of all cultures, all ethnicities, all religions, or no religion, and bring that divine wisdom of love to our planet again?
Well, by definition of the role of a woman is that it is the same role as any fully human being has. It's just that simple. Has that been achieved? Absolutely not. Now, when I began to impose new ideas into old conversations, believe it or not, the biggest element in every discussion was pronouns. Mm-hmm. You could not get, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, you could not get people to understand that the fact that we consumed a woman's whole life in a male pronoun was, as a matter of fact, defining her as inferior. We made men the norm. We taught our children in school that if you had a mixed group of boys and girls, they were to be referred to as him rather than him and her. Yes. We are now at the point where most publishers themselves realize that omission of the human race in language itself has affected our structures. For instance, you can't say, all men know that this is a traffic light. All men know. I mean everybody. Well, let me give you an example. I want you to think poodle, elephant, little boy, green ball, tree, and cat. I cannot say animal and have you think of all of those at one time. It's not possible. So when you take half the human race and absorb it in pronouns for the rest of the human race, dearly beloved brothers, we are gathered here today, it simply wipes out half of your population. Now, what else is it wiping out? It's wiping out a woman's experience and assuming that a man's experience will cover both her insights and her wisdom and her knowledge, all of her knowledge, and certainly the impact of the event itself. And yet we did it commonly. We did it all of our lives. And so nobody minds when they sit down at a table to set up the national budget, that we'll be lucky if there are two women at that table, 2 out of 30. Turn on your television and watch the camera sweep across Congress, Parliament, anybody, any committee, and it's all white men. Now they throw in a black or two, and they'll throw in a woman or two and mix. It doesn't work. Right. It's not there. Don't tell me how much progress we've made because we are suddenly remembering to say, oh, yeah, oh, ladies too, oh, men and women, boys and girls. I'm happy you're doing that. I consider it progress. But it is now simply the sign that what ought to be is definitely not. You say men and women look at the American Congress. And it's not men and women, it's men and men and men and men and women. Right. We have one of the lowest female representations in politics of all the governments of the world.
Yes.
Don't tell me that I'm supposed to see this as a point of ultimate development. We've won now. We've made it now. So the problem is that you can't solve all the problems of the world with half the people who have them. Until women in equal numbers are sitting at tables that determine what are the next steps and the best steps for human development, we will only have partial human development. And don't kid yourself that it can be otherwise.
Just this morning, Joan, I put out a newsletter to all those people that are on my email list, because one of the things that I want to do is bring back what's called women's circles. And women's circles were prevalent in the indigenous world. And they were beautiful ways for women to come together, to speak honestly with one another, but also to provide direction. And there was one beautiful thing that always struck me. There was a book that is called The Daughters of Copper Woman. I cannot remember the author's name. It escapes me at the moment. However, but what they were talking about was women did not come to gossip. And if someone came to gossip after the third time that someone was there, if they stated the same problem or their same challenge, and all of the women would turn their back on them, meaning it is time to stop and find an answer. They would stop the conversation. Women have to stop the conversation that is degrading other women.
That's right.
Women have to stop being willing to just complain.
That's right.
Women have to say, I helped to bring life onto this planet. There is not a single human being that was born any other way than through the womb of a woman. And
that's beautiful. That's wonderful.
And you know, as I write the word woman, what we need to remember is man is within that word, not the other way around.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I can remember, it had to be 20 years, 25 years ago now, in a large group with this kind of conversation was circling around one of my own presentations. And I think it was a man who said, well, you know, I mean, I hear all this talk about pronouns and things. There are so many bigger things that we ought to be attending to. Don't you think that this is just picky and small? And I said, you mean the sentence, Jesus came to save all men is enough? Well, sure it is. I said, well, if we're already equal, how about for the next 2,000 years, we'll just say Jesus came to save all women? Now you tell me how you feel about that. And the place roared. It was a moment of phenomenal insight. You cannot, as you're saying, you cannot possibly substitute one for the other and come out equal. You can't do that.
No.
This is a special experience, a special wisdom, a special insight, a special way of going about things. If half of the Defense Department were women, would we have threatened to blow North Korea off the map? Can you give somebody the Nobel Peace Prize for threatening to destroy them?
No.
Is that how you do that?
No.
Now, from a woman's point of view, I find that a contradiction in terms. But you'll have to have women at that table to work through that conversation.
That's right.
And decide when defense is defense and when militarism is sheer militarism.
And you know, Joan, and again, my guest is Joan Chittister. And Joan, the thing that I think is so important is we have to remember to bring men into the fold, to let men know how, I can only imagine how difficult it has been for a man who had to go at times against every molecule of their being to be something that they were not.
That's right.
And to, you know, have to have a facade of, you know, bravado that didn't suit them. So there's compassion that we have to have for us all. and look at one another with such different eyes. So,
I think what you're saying, and I'm with it 100%. When women are denied the right to do what they can do, men are asked to do what they are not able to do.
That's right.
It really, sexism affects both of us. The only problem is that it's sold to men as privilege. And so they die in their 50s from heart attacks, from trying to have to be responsible for things they never wanted to do.
That's right.
And so we're not allowing natural gifts to develop. Having said that, at the risk of being seriously misunderstood, I feel this way. I think that this whole Me Too movement, the Harvey Weinstein debacle, has turned a corner for allowing men to step forward and quit joining the dirty joke crowd to prove how manly they are.
That's right.
I think it is a moment when gentlemen, good men, can claim to be fully male, wonderful fathers, great husbands, without having to prove their manhood by being less than manly.
Right. That's right. And I think that, you know, there's so many things that, in ancient, again, indigenous elders understood that this is a time that was prophesized for many, many centuries. We are literally right now coming out of the Dark Ages.
Yes.
The ages of patriarchal control and imbalance.
Yes.
And what that means is we have to be brave and honest and trustworthy in our word, because we are saying what hasn't been said.
Here's what I really like about what you just said. And I've been a strong advocate of it myself, but I love the way you're saying it. Women cannot, a really womanly woman does not sit by and say nothing and expect somebody else to make the world equal and right for her. She says, this is not acceptable. I will not have this. I want more people here. I want to be heard in this conversation. And I'm hearing women on television do a little of that, as in, when they have the panels and men talk over and through a woman's idea, you hear a woman say, I am not finished speaking. Just a moment, please let me finish that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see men, you can see the surprise in their bodies. And then they remember that they've heard someplace that they have no right to consume a woman's idea. But it's not there yet, and it won't be there until women stand up and require it. And they don't have the right to complain if they sit through an unacceptable story, an unacceptable structure, an unacceptable idea to them, and say nothing.
That's right. There's a piece of artwork I did a long time ago, and one of the lives I had was as a calligrapher. And the words were, the heart of the matter is what matters.
That's right.
And we have to remember that. We are spirit in form.
That's right.
And that means that we are made of matter, and what we do and what we say matters. What we think matters.
Yes.
Because it echoes from our being, whether we know it or not.
That's right. Oh, yes. Well, you know, I started out by saying nothing, everything happens on a timeline.
Yes.
Nothing happens fully and immediately. Are we on a timeline? Yes. Has it moved forward? Indeed. Is it over? Absolutely not.
Right.
And the danger right now is the women themselves who say, for instance, I wouldn't vote for a woman just because she was a woman. Why not, honey? For 1,000 years, you've been voting for men simply because they're men.
Right.
You've said it. Only men can be mayors. I think only men can be governors. I think only men, at one time it was only men could be telephone operators, for heaven's sakes. And so that to hear a woman give that that reason for voting, well, I wouldn't vote for a woman just because she was a woman. I would. If I want the woman's agenda to be given serious consideration, I am going to have to put women where that consideration, where those conversations emerge, and where the legislation that controls a woman's life is made. And it bothers me that women think that they're being objective and rational if they say that they wouldn't support a woman because she's a woman. It just tells me how little they know even about themselves.
Yes, and I think also we need to begin to require is true leadership. Regardless of your gender, regardless of your ethnicity. You know, I'm often sharing with people, you know, so much has been taken from the Native American world, and often people don't think about it. So, for instance, people call themselves chief of staff, chief executive officer, and they wonder, where did that word chief come from?
Yes.
But what the word chief actually was a pledge of integrity.
Yes.
It was not something bestowed upon someone. They had to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be a living example of integrity.
Right. Yes.
And so that is what I think, regardless male or female, that's what we have to expect of everyone. To live up to the pledge of integrity.
Yes.
So that our world can really begin to heal.
Well, it is. And you just put it there. You put it there exactly where it belongs again, Elaine, so that the world can begin to see us.
Mm-hmm.
Women have been invisible, immersed in male pronouns, sitting in female seats rather than human seats everywhere.
Yes.
And nothing is going to change for our children until women change themselves.
Yes. And Joan, on your website, I see that you are currently a co-chair for the Global Peace Initiative of Women.
Yes, I've been in that position for a good many years now. It's a wonderful group. Actually, it was founded by Dina Merriam in New York City, and she put together immediately an international commission of women from every major tradition, and it has been one of the finest centers for women to discuss the political situation that they're living in, as well as the social, educational, and spiritual one. So it's been a great experience.
Mm. And how have you seen that move around the world, this Global Peace Initiative?
Well, if I understand you correctly, Elaine, the woman's issue is not people. In fact, I was just, believe it or not, in a local situation in the last 3 months where the male speaker ended his presentation by saying, of course, this is only an American issue, this woman's thing. It was unbelievable. There were gasps in the audience. That's what he knows about it. He's a European, and he said, "Now this woman's issue is just an American issue." He's dead wrong. Mm-hmm. At the time of the Beijing conference on women in China, in Beijing, we had something like 45,000 women from around the world who were participants in that conference, and Chinese women weren't even allowed to attend it. There was a big discussion about whether or not we should go. I was one of the women who said that we must go. And they said, but we're pretending to talk about women in a country that will not permit it. I said, but you don't understand. Every time we walk down the street freely and go into those meetings freely, some little Chinese girl sees us and wants to ask her mother why we're not there.
That's right.
That's as strong a presentation of this as any speech can ever be. And everywhere, the woman's issue is an issue. The agenda is often different. In some countries, I mean, it's not daycare in Africa. It's water pipes.
That's
and
right.
Wells, because women are carrying gallons of water morning, noon, and night to feed and bathe their families. The Coke truck can get up the mountain, but the government can't take pipes up the mountain to run water. Now, daycare is our issue, and it's a legitimate issue. It's a necessary issue. We're still not there yet. It's an embarrassing issue, actually, here. But at the same time, across the border, it's water pipes. In Africa, it's water pipes. So the woman's issue is what is affecting a woman's life. That whole notion of women experiencing the world in different ways than men and having a different wisdom about how to go about resolving things than men and having different insights about what's important than men. So it's a huge issue, Elaine. And, you know, if I had ever created a coat of arms for myself, I began telling people 50 years ago it wasn't going to happen in our lifetime. I could see the disappointment. I would say to them, it is our task to prepare for it. What we don't do means it will only be delayed in coming. On that coat of arms, I would write around my own shield, if not for us, then because of us.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see the work that women like you and I and thousands others have done has failed because we're not where we should be yet. But I do see that what we have done is puts another stone in the pavement on the path to the fullness of life. And so for women who are hearing us, hearing this at this moment, I can only beg them to inject into conversations for all our sakes what needs to be there and not to tell themselves, I can't do anything. Yeah, you can. Stand up and say what you need. Say what the women next to you. Say what your daughters need. Say what should happen to women. Just say it and say it and say it until that song becomes the human song we all sing.
That's right. And when we stand there with dignity, compassion, and love, as we watch the changes unfold, because change is often difficult, and cheer each other on, we need to do that. I cannot begin to tell you, my dear, what an absolute honor it has been to talk to you today.
No, but it's been a great... Just knowing that we can have a conversation like this in public, Elaine, that you're enabling that. You are an example of what I'm talking about in general terms today. And I thank you, and I know all your listeners thank you, but I want the opportunity to say it out loud.
Well,
God bless you, and please keep up the work.
Well, we have 3 more minutes left, so don't run off yet.
All right. Okay.
Tell us, please, where people can get in touch with you. What are you working on right now that maybe people can come and be with you or listen to you?
Sure. Well, we would welcome anybody at the monastery at any time in Erie, Pennsylvania. We do have programs, and I would encourage people to go to the websites, the Erie Benedictine website, the Joan Chittister website that will also lead you there, the Monasteries of the Heart. They're all interconnected, and you can see how the entire community functions and what our own small, special projects are. We have a group of young women coming in this very next week for the first meeting of the Joan Chittister Institute on Contemporary Spirituality. And
beautiful.
Bringing together some very fine young women from across the United States will begin to deal with the kinds of issues that you and I have been talking about this morning. And I do a thing called a reader's retreat at least once a year. Sometime we're trying to find a way to do it twice, but we only take 35 women at a time for that, for a weekend or the equivalent of a weekend, so that we can have these conversations. We build them around one of my books, and we have, when you talk about a woman's circle, this is a phenomenal piece of dynamism going on in these rooms. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that people keep their eyes on the website. So all of our projects are listed there.
Good.
Everybody is welcome. There isn't anybody who isn't. And we have men in those conversations as well. And it's working beautifully for everyone.
Well, thank
it's
you.
Little, it's small, it's local,
but it's big
in many ways, but it's real.
It's big. Well, again, thank you so much, Joan, for your time. Again, my guest has been Joan Chittister, influential religious and social leader for our time and an extraordinary human being. Thank you so much, Joan.
Thank you.
This is Elaine Grohman for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And remember, you have the power within you to make life better for yourself and for others. After all, that's what it's all about.